Greetings, everyone, and welcome to Under the Fig Tree. I'm Troy.
And I'm Bruce.
And we are happy that you took your time out to join us today. Bruce, we've got a really good topic today. Why don't you go ahead and introduce that topic?
Our topic for today is called Who Is They? I know that sounds a little bit grammatically incorrect, but you'll see where we're heading with it and where we're going to end up and land with this. And so you'll find that it is actually appropriate. So once again, the title is Who Is They?
And sounds funny.
Who yeah, it does sound funny, right? The point being that, and I may jump ahead, I'm going to try not to, but the point being that they may not be plural. They may be singular. Mm-hmm. And if they, quote unquote, is singular, then who is grammatically correct.
Gotcha.
But it's a term that's used widely, man.
Yeah.
And I'd been thinking about this, Troy, for a little while and just kind of having this, I would almost call it a meditative moment with the Lord back and forth about this whole idea of they.
Yeah.
And we're not going to like keep you in suspense or anything. I can tell you right up front that as far as I'm concerned, they is a singular individual. They is a he. They is not a them. You know what I'm saying? And so, but when we deal with things or when we respond to things or speak to things in the earth, it's amazing to me how many times, myself included, we use the term they. And so for some years now, I've been like, who is they?
Yeah, yeah.
Who actually is they? I'll give some examples. They say, milk is not good for you. Well, who's they?
Yeah, yeah.
They say, don't eat red meat. Who's they? Well, people might say, well, your doctor, and you know. They say, don't talk about Jesus too much. If you're trying to get a job, you won't get the job.
Who's they?
Who's they? I wonder why they did that.
Yeah.
We use it a lot, man. I mean, we use it regularly. They don't care about us.
Right.
They just raised taxes again.
Yeah.
Right? And so let's start there and kind of see how this evolves, right? My point is to the body of Christ specifically.
Right.
That as long as we're pointing at a group of people versus pointing at the enemy of our souls, then we may not be praying correctly. We may not be perceiving correctly. The Bible says we're in this world, but not of this world. And so it is very important, vitally important, that we understand the powers that be and the influences that be. And so maybe I'll just, you know, maybe we can use that as an intro. You have a scripture. Let's go with your scripture.
I do. 1 Peter 5.
Okay.
Verse 8. It says this, be alert. Be on watch. Your enemy, the devil, that would be the they, right?
Yeah, that's the they.
Your enemy, the devil, roams around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, he appears to be like a lion.
Yeah.
He appears that way.
Yeah.
He appears to be far more harmful.
Yeah, yeah.
Than he actually is, especially to the believer.
Yeah.
But the only harm he can do is what you allow him to do.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right. So
absolutely.
Yeah.
I don't know if I shared this before or not, but one of the things that Troy that also I've been really just kind of walking with God through, mm-hmm. and I mean that from a standpoint of just thinking it through with the Lord.
Right.
Having conversations with the Lord, listening for what the Lord is showing me, trying to keep my eyes open to see what he wants me to see about it. And one of the things, and this is going to be a little deep, guys, but it's where we are. One of the things that I've really been locked in on for the last few years is this idea of, boy, this is going to sound wild, a global layer of witchcraft. A global layer of witchcraft.
Mm-hmm.
What do you mean by that? I had a dream some years ago. I don't know if I shared this or not on a different podcast, but if I did, hopefully it'll mean something to you guys if you've heard it before. I had a dream several years ago that in the city that I live in, right,
mm-hmm.
there are two streets. They're intersecting streets, and they're basically would be considered the very center of our city.
Right.
It's interesting, too, from a prophetic standpoint for me, but I won't get into it, that one street is called Trade Street, and the other street is called Tryon.
Yeah.
Tryon.
Yeah.
Right? But that'll take us down a different course. We'll get to that another time. I'm standing in this dream. I'm standing in the middle of the street. I have this little itty-bitty pair of scissors, like tiny scissors, but they're extremely sharp. And I look up, and there is literally a film, physically a film, that is covering the whole atmosphere, the whole sky, and it goes, it's like a blanket that goes as far as I could see.
Yeah.
So I'm standing in the center of this intersection, which is would be considered the center of our city that I live in, and I'm poking, I'm trying my best to poke through this film that is covering what I thought was just the city that I live in. And when I woke up, I understood from the Lord, I believe, that it was not, no, this is the whole nation. No. This is the whole world, right?
Right.
And I understood it when I woke up to be a blanket of witchcraft. Yeah. I know that's hard for some people to grab.
Sure.
Right? But we're talking about who is they, right? And if we don't really understand as believers in Jesus Christ, right, that this system is the same system that one Satan, known as the devil, offered to Jesus, which is crazy, you know what I'm saying, because he's God. But this is the system that he offered to Jesus if Jesus would do, you know, this and that and bow to him and that kind of thing. And so I want to bring attention to the fact that, number one, we're in this world, but we're not of this world, which also means that we're dealing with the system that we're not of.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That's what that means to me. We're dealing with a system that we're not of, nor are we supposed to be in, nor are we supposed to be affected by.
And that's where the rubber meets the road. I know a lot of people that will quote the scripture, but then you see it in practicality, and they are very much a part and affected by that system. And they don't recognize it. They don't have to be.
Right.
So this topic has the potential to be controversial, maybe, and
God, I bless the Lord, oh my soul, if it is, because we could use a little controversy,
maybe a little incendiary too.
Hey.
But we're coming into a season to where we have elections coming up, and we see that people are gauging their opinion, because that's what your vote is. It's your opinion.
Yep.
You're gauging their opinion off of factors that should not affect you in the first place.
That's exactly right, Troy.
Right. So here's the deal, man. I know this to be true. Once you take money off the table, everything becomes a whole lot more clear.
Absolutely.
And so when we start to talk about government officials, it doesn't matter if it's the presidency, it doesn't matter if it's governors, senators, whatever. What are you going to do with the economy?
Yeah.
You know, how are you going to fix the economy?
Right.
How are you going to make the economy grow? Who cares?
Right.
Who cares? The cattle on 1,000 hills belongs to him.
That's exactly right. Man.
Right. I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed beg for bread. You know, there's these things that show you that, no, you're not supposed to be a part of this system. So forget about the money. And then let's start looking at righteousness and unrighteousness, because that's really what everything is supposed to boil down to.
Yes,
now,
sir.
Here's where the rubber meets the road, because you just said that. I know I'm in this world. I'm not part of this world.
Right.
But when we start talking about that with other people, they say, well, like you said earlier, they'll raise your tax. No.
Right.
We're not worried about what they will do.
Right, right.
Right?
Right.
Because you're not even recognizing who they is
that's
anyway.
That's exactly right.
You know, so we're not worried about that. Keep your focus on what God is doing, not what they will do.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
That's where I am with it.
That's exactly right, man.
Yeah.
And so for me, it goes back. It goes all the way back to the garden.
Sure.
Genesis 3:1. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. Right. And, you know, and so we know, I won't read a lot of it, but because we know what that conversation was like. Most of us who are students of the word, we know what that conversation was like. We know that it was a very seductive, I don't mean sexual, I mean it was a very seducing conversation.
Correct.
The conversation that the serpent decided to have with Eve was for one reason and one reason only, and that was to pull her away from the standard.
That's it.
That God had already set.
That's it.
That's what it was.
That's it. That's exactly what it was.
Now, you've heard me say this many times, Troy. Satan is not God. He's not equal with God.
No.
He's not a creative being, believe it or not.
He is not.
He's actually a defeated foe, if you believe Isaiah 14, I believe it is.
Mm-hmm.
He's a defeated foe.
Correct.
Right?
Correct.
So he doesn't have any new tricks. So if he started off with that in the garden, trying to introduce a thought that this human would receive and grab hold to and allow to take root in her thinking, he knew that would effectively get her off of and mess up her focus from what God had originally said to them.
Yes.
He knew that then. He knows that now.
Well, he knew it because he deceived himself first.
Oh, boy, that's a great point.
Yeah.
He's
been around way longer than mankind,
dude.
And he was able to deceive himself.
Dude.
So if it worked on me, why can't it work on him?
Why can't it work on him?
And then he tried it again on Jesus.
And he tried it again and again.
Of course. Right?
And so for me, that's where it starts, man. It starts with, wow, that blanket, if I could say it like this, that blanket began to weave that blanket of witchcraft.
Yes.
From that day in the garden.
Absolutely.
And has spread it throughout the whole earth.
Yes.
And so, this is going to be real interesting. And you know what we always say, Troy, you know, you've heard me say this many times. I've heard you say it. Everybody listening, everybody who will ever listen to this are absolutely powerful to disagree.
Yep.
We don't have to fall out about it.
Not at all.
You know, if this is not your podcast, this particular one, we got a bunch of them. Go find one. We're trying to do our best to, you know, to keep it biblical. That is our thing.
Yes.
Let's have fun, but we're going to always keep it biblical, right? And so having said that, I got another scripture.
Let's go.
Ephesians 6. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. I'm reading from starting at verse 10. Verse 11, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. This is what I want to get to in verse 12.
Yes.
For we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. So there you go.
This was in my notes too, so I'm happy that you started there. I'm happy that you. This is one of the problems that I see so much is we try to fight with other people,
dude,
and it's because I get it. That's who you can see,
yeah,
right. So you attribute the issue to the one that you can see, but you can't see the spirit that's influencing the decision-making process of the one that you can see.
That's right.
So it's almost, I mean, it really is a case of shooting the messenger.
Yep.
Right?
All day.
Instead of the spirit that's giving the message.
And I always say like this, you can't kill God.
Yeah.
You can't fight God.
No.
So you take the next best thing, and that's the person in front of you. That's Cain and Abel.
Cain and Abel all day.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, man.
So this is where I see it a lot of times. And when we talk about the they thing, again, who is they? Ephesians 6:12 gives us a really good layout of who they is.
Yep.
We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. Bruce, I just had this conversation with a good friend of mine. Was that yesterday? Maybe the day before. And I was explaining a couple things to him, you know, just talking it over. You know, kind of like we do.
Yeah.
And the topic of demonic oppression came up,
okay,
and deliverance and all this kind of stuff. And I just had to explain, look, just because you don't believe in it doesn't mean it doesn't exist.
Oh boy.
Right?
Yeah.
So you can not believe in gravity if you don't want to believe in gravity. Climb on your roof and jump off.
Yeah,
and
just jump off. Yeah,
yeah, it will affect you. And it's no different than demonic oppression and stuff like that, that people can carry these things, and these things can attach themselves to people.
Sure.
And they have, and they do, they'll probably continue to attach themselves and oppress people until somebody can help the people get free.
Yeah.
Just because you don't believe in it doesn't mean it doesn't exist.
Right.
But what ends up happening is we'll take that issue that may be from demonic oppression,
right,
or demonic influence.
Yeah.
And we'll take that to counseling.
Yeah. Oh man.
Right.
It's the cart before the horse.
Absolutely. All day.
We need to get you free first.
Thank you.
And then bring you to the council.
So the council can help you stay free.
Of the word of God, though.
Absolutely.
Bring you to the council of the word of God. Because absolutely. I believe, Troy, that is part of the issue.
Sure.
With the need for deliverance in the first place.
I agree wholeheartedly.
That takes us back to the blanket of witchcraft.
Uh-huh.
There's things that you have heard all your life. I'm saying you in general, people.
Yeah.
Things we humans have heard all our life.
Yeah.
We hadn't known any better until we came to Christ.
Yep.
Until we started reading that word.
Yep.
Still, we started digesting. Now we're not just reading, we're digesting the mm-hmm. word. And now the word is having an effect upon our system. It
comes alive in you.
It comes alive in you.
Yeah.
But it also starts pushing out bad doctrine.
Correct.
Correct. Now for me, I'm different, right? I'm a little different because when I think doctrine, I'm not thinking something that a preacher is teaching wrong per se.
Mm-hmm.
That's part of bad doctrine too.
Yeah.
I'm thinking doctrine of devils.
Correct.
I'm seeing where I am, dude. I've been here for a couple of years now.
Yeah, man.
Everything for me now is associated with this blanket of witchcraft.
Mm-hmm.
And my God Almighty, we're seeing it, Troy, like I know I'm seeing it like I've never seen it before. When I see people who have, and I'm going to say it, hope I don't offend anybody, but I know a lot of you know it's true. When you see people and you encounter people that don't have any common sense for the most simple things.
Yeah.
That's a doctrine of demons.
I agree all day.
That's an effect of a witchcraft campaign against human beings. And the weak, right? Why are you weak? Not because you're a bad person. You're weak because you're not in the word of God. It Correct. Is literally the word of God that will inoculate you against
sir.
Crazy thinking.
Absolutely. Because now you have a foundation.
You
have a foundation.
That's exactly right.
And you
right,
build dude. On that foundation. You build more bricks with more word.
That's exactly right, right? man. That's
Just exactly like strongholds right. can be built in your mind from bad thinking and bad doctrine and doctrine of demons, you can tear down those strongholds and also build up your own.
That's exactly
that
right.
That are built and fortified by the word of God.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
And to that point, 1 Peter 5:8 says, be sober-minded. Uh-oh. Be sober-minded and alert.
Yep.
For your adversary, the devil, make sure we know who they is.
That's who they is.
The devil prowls around like a roaring lion. You quoted that earlier.
Yep.
You read it earlier.
Yep.
Seeking someone to devour. Seeking someone to devour. Not just devouring people at will.
Yeah.
He's having to find, oh, I can't mess with them. They got the word of God. They're bathed in the word. The Holy Spirit's all over them and in
them. Yeah,
man. Oh, I got to go find somebody else. That's what I see in that.
So there's one of the translations. It'll read this way. Seeking whom he may.
Whom he may, yes.
Which means in some cases there's people he may not.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
And I wonder who those people are.
You've already explained them. Those people that have been bathed in the word of God.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Those people, I think you read it earlier from Ephesians 6,
mm-hmm.
the ones that have the armor on.
Who have the armor
on. How much more difficult is it for somebody to take a bite out of you when you have your armor on?
That's
right?
exactly right, man.
So we have to do a, 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 one of these podcasts one day on the armor of God.
On the armor.
Yeah, I got some real cool stuff about that. We have to do that one day.
Yeah, I got an awesome dream about the armor.
Yeah.
So that'll go right along.
Stay tuned. You guys.
Stay tuned. You're seeing this develop, or you're hearing it, I should say, develop in real time.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah, man. So what else? I have another one. Revelation 12:9. Yep. So the great dragon was cast out.
Yep.
Now watch. The great dragon, that's one name, that old serpent called the devil.
Yep.
And Satan.
Yeah.
Right? Talking about the same they.
Yeah.
Because he's deceptive, man.
Correct.
So he doesn't come up and say, thus saith the devil.
No.
No, he got everybody walking around saying, you know, they say the economy is going to be really, and you know, they say they're going to go up on, and you know, they say that they're trying to da 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 da.
And the they that they think they're talking about, they don't run the system.
Exactly.
He runs the system.
He runs the system.
Correct.
So even if you can point to some of the humans that are representing the they.
Correct.
We have to peel back the curtain and recognize that he really is the they behind it.
Some of those people that are running the system that represent the they, some of them don't even know that they're representing
the they. That's exactly right, dude.
Right. But that's how deep the deception runs.
That's how deep the deception runs.
They don't even know.
That's a great point.
So
that's a great point. So, yeah, let me finish that. Revelation 12:9. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan. This is what I want to get to. Who deceives the whole world. That's the scripture that God showed me from the dream.
Yeah.
When I woke up and realized, oh my God, there's a blanket of witchcraft over the whole world. Revelation 12:9 speaks to it, right? He was cast to the earth and his angels were cast out with him. So now we know where he operates.
Correct.
He operates in the earth. And he's trying to deceive. And this is interesting because it doesn't say he's trying to. It says who deceives the whole world. That means he's had some success at this, man.
Yeah, because it's what he does.
It's exactly what he does, man.
Here's something funny. This is how you know. Okay, this is what he does in Revelation 20.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven. This should give you some hope. I'll show you why. Mm-hmm. I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit, and a great chain was in his hand. He laid hold of the dragon, that serpent of old, who is the devil, and Satan, and bound him. He had to make sure we talk about the same dude, right?
Who we're talking about.
And bound him for 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal on him that he should not deceive the nations no more, right?
Yes.
Until the 1,000 years were finished. But after these things, he must be released for a little while. Now, here's what's funny. And this is why I should give you some hope. Because the Bible says, I saw an angel.
Yeah.
This was not Jesus.
Right.
This was not God himself.
Right.
This was not Michael.
Right.
This was not Gabriel.
It wasn't even a host of.
No. It was just a random angel,
right,
who still had enough power and authority to put this dude in chains.
Didn't
take
no fight,
no struggle.
Mm-mm.
Just a random angel who was able to lay hold of him, put him in chains, and then lock him away for 1,000 years. Why? So that he could deceive the nations no more. Because that's what he does.
But
the crazy thing is after the 1,000 years is over, he has to be released. And guess what he does?
He goes right back to deceive again.
Because that's all he does.
Because that's all he does, right?
That's all he does.
I mean, that's awesome, man. That's so clean. That's so clean. You know, he. I think about that time.
Yeah.
There's no more deception. So that means everyone's yay is yay and everyone's nay is nay.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
But here's how I process that, Troy. He's been deceiving the world for a long time prior to being chained and put away for 1,000 years.
Mm-hmm.
Now truth has opportunity without the competition of deception being there.
Yeah.
But guess what? This is how I see it. I could be wrong. people have to make up their minds. People still have to get free, per se, and sure, be willing to accept the truth because they've lived under that deception for so long.
Well, I think you're absolutely right. This is one of the, again, with the deception that goes on, you know, that high level witchcraft that's blanketing the world. People have to choose the truth.
Yes.
Now we're to the point where people will say truth has been relegated to how you feel. It's become very subjective. Mm. And that doesn't make it truth at all.
It does not.
Right? Truth is absolutely absolute. I don't know anything else that's more absolute than truth.
It
can't be your truth. It can't be my truth. It can't be for me, this is true. It can't be that.
That's exactly
it's
right.
It's truth because it's true.
Yeah.
It can't be any other way.
That's right.
And I think what happens is, and we've seen this, you can pick up on something and say, well, this was said about this person. And, well, I checked my source, and my source said this was said about this person. And right, that previous statement that you said wasn't true. This is happening all over the place because there's a full-out assault on truth.
Yes.
Because that's what witchcraft does.
Yes.
There's a full-out assault on it. And so if we can break down truth, not that we can take truth out of the earth because he can't do that.
Right.
But what we can do with this witchcraft is we can take truth and make it subjective.
Yes.
You see what I mean?
Yes.
And then people can figure out for themselves what they want to believe, right, as opposed to what is absolutely true.
Yes.
This is why people will start with that. Well, they said this.
Yes.
And they said that.
Yeah, man.
And they believed this and they believed that. They told me this was true, and so I'm going to go with that as opposed to what the truth actually is.
Yes.
You and I both know the truth. Be real. We're going to be biblical about it.
Yeah.
Truth is not a thing. It's a person.
That's exactly right.
Right? Jesus said, I am the way, I am
the truth.
Not a truth.
No, the truth.
He is the truth.
And the light.
Yeah, and the light. So he is the truth. Truth is not just something, it's someone.
Right.
And what the enemy of our soul is trying to do is break down our perception, because he can't break down truth.
Right.
He can only break down our perception.
That's exactly
of
right.
What truth is.
That's a great.
And this is exactly what's going on with this this witchcraft that's happening.
Yeah, that's so good, man. Before you got to that, where Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the light. Mm-hmm. I was thinking while you were talking, it's amazing to me. Scientists have figured out many, 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 many years ago that, and this is going to sound really weird to people, that there is really no darkness. That what darkness is simply the absence of light.
Yes, sir.
Isn't it amazing that I believe it to be the same truth, for lack of a better term, in relation to truth.
Sure.
I know that's redundant. The absence of truth
uh-huh.
only leaves darkness, only leaves deception.
Yes.
So it's amazing to me that the three adjectives nouns that Jesus has used about himself is I am the way, the truth, and the light. So if you remove Jesus, right, you can't find your way, right?
That's right.
You only have deception left, and you live in a place of darkness.
Well,
that's amazing to me, man.
It is. And I'm going to tell you, I know the Bible calls Satan the prince of darkness. I think that's one of the.
Oh, my.
And honestly, we look at that prince or we look at that darkness as, you know, the absence of light.
Come on,
which
bro.
It is to a degree.
Come on, bro.
But really what it boils down to is he's the prince of your ignorance.
I have a couple few scriptures.
Okay, along. There we go.
No, you're on it. You're on it. I don't have them in my notes, but they're in my mind.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Exactly what you're talking about.
He's the prince of our ignorance. So ignorance is also the absence of light.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So when you're illuminated by the word of God, you're no longer ignorant.
That's exactly
of
right.
Of whatever fact or whatever situation that is, because now you have truth introduced into the situation. In fact, Bruce, one of the things that we teach in our deliverance classes is that we do not take on deliverance sessions and stuff like that so that we can expose darkness.
Right.
We do it to introduce light.
That's it, man.
That's what we do.
It's way more effective.
It's way more effective. And the reason we do that is because in the book of John, it talks about that light that was in the world.
Yeah.
And that light came in and the darkness could not overtake the light.
Could not overtake it.
And so we introduce light as opposed to trying to expose darkness.
I'm so glad you brought up the whole idea of darkness, because there are several scriptures that use the term darkness.
Yes.
And if you dig a little bit past the surface, it's easy to see that it's talking about ignorance.
Ignorance, yes.
And even there's even a scripture that even suggests that it's evil, which gives you a picture of how God sees it. So God sees ignorance as evil.
Yeah, yeah, man.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He sees ignorance. He's like, yeah, no, this is not supposed to be. I've provided the way,
truth,
and the light. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Why are they walking? Yeah, no, this is evil. In other words, this is of the devil.
That's the they.
That's the they, man. Man, this is real good right here, bro.
Yeah, man.
This is real good. This is good stuff, man. So, okay, I got another one. Matthew 16:23, but he turned, I like the scripture, man.
Yeah.
But he turned and said to Peter, get thee behind me, Satan, for you are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men. And of course, it's repeated again in Mark 8:33, right? And I'm going to read all three of them because I want to make a point. Matthew 16:23. This is Mark 8:33. But when he had turned around and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter, saying, get behind me, Satan, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men. Almost exactly the same, right? So here, Matthew sees it and records it a particular way. Mark sees it and records it almost the exact same way, right? Yep. And then Luke sees it and records, and Jesus answered and said to him, get behind me, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve.
Mm-hmm.
And the thought came to me. He's talking to Peter, but he's talking to Satan.
Mm-hmm.
He's rebuking Peter, but he's also rebuking Satan. And I started playing with that, right?
Yeah, man.
Because I know that he wasn't really talking to Peter. He was talking to the satanic influence.
Correct.
But he, and I could be wrong about this. Remember, you guys are absolutely powerful to disagree. We're okay with that. Being disagreed with, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I got to thinking about that one day, man, and I was like, yeah, no, he's not just talking to Satan. It literally says, he says to Peter, right? And then it hit me. He talks about being mindful. So he's dealing, only Jesus could do this, he's dealing with the spirit that's influencing Peter's thinking in that very moment, while at the same time dealing with Peter for allowing
this spirit to influence
him at the same time. I thought, oh man, Jesus is skillful, right? And so I came up with this. The way to stay out of the influence of Satan is to keep your focus on the things of God, not on the things of men.
Yes.
Ooh, we're in election year.
Yeah, man.
We're just, I don't know how many days, not many, many, many days away, right?
Yeah.
How to stay out of the influence of Satan. Keep your focus on the things of God, not on the things of men. The things that are going on in the earth right now that people, believers included, are just over the top. Some of them are over the top.
Some.
And I'm reading this and I'm saying, boy, Jesus lays it out when he deals with Peter. And he says, hey, man, your thinking is off because you've allowed the influence of the other guy, who we call sometimes the other guy.
The other guy, yeah.
Your thinking is off, Peter, and I need you to get back over here where you belong. and then at the same time deals with Satan. I thought that was great.
It is great. Like you said, it's election year. I did this on purpose so you can be my witness. You see my stress level is all the way down? Yeah. I just checked it on my watch. I'm not pressed about any of this stuff.
Oh, that's awesome, man.
I'm not pressed about any of this
stuff. That's awesome. We're not supposed to have high blood pressure. No. We're not supposed to, I got migraines and stuff. Man. God bless you if you do. I'm not poking at you. There's freedom for that, though. But you, even with that, you may want to consider.
Yeah.
Why? How much are you taking in? How much of the things of the world, the things of men, are you taking in versus how much of the things of God are you staying focused on?
If I focus on the things of God, listen, there's a scripture that says that he'll keep the mind of those if your mind is stayed on him, he'll keep you in perfect
peace.
Right? Not if you keep your mind stayed on MSNBC or Fox News or CNN or whatever news outlet you get. Listen, I'm going to say this, and this might hurt some feelings. I don't really care. I mean, I love all of you, But I've always told people, if I have to choose between your feelings and your salvation, I'm going to choose your salvation every
Absolutely.
Time.
Absolutely.
And I'll say the same thing about your peace. Between your feelings and your peace, I'm going to choose your peace
every time,
every single time. And I'm just going to tell you this because I believe it to be true. We've already shown you that peace is or the truth is a person.
Yes.
Right? So wherever you go to get your source of truth from has become your God.
Yes.
It's that simple.
Yes.
If you continue to ingest all of this news and all of this noise, really is what it is.
It's noise.
That comes from this world that you're not supposed to be of. If you continue to ingest all this kind of stuff and let it affect you, then that part, your soulish realm, is going to become way more powerful than your spirit, man, because you're feeding the soul more than you're feeding the spirit.
That's exactly right.
If I'm feeding myself with the word of God, now my spirit man becomes more powerful than my soulish realm.
Yes.
And now that connection that I have to God becomes a lot stronger. My body is just going to go with whichever one
That's exactly right.
is the strongest. So if my soulish realm is stronger, then my body is going to go with that.
That's
if
right.
my spirit is stronger, then my body is going to go with that.
That's right.
My behavior is going to line up to whichever one of those I treat or
That's
whichever
right.
one of those I feed the most. And so it's so important, not just in election year, but at all times.
Yep.
That you feed yourself the word of God. Your
That's
focus
right.
has to be there. Great example in the book of Joshua. I didn't even have this in my notes, but just in the book of Joshua, when they were about to cross the Jordan and the water was, and a lot of times when you see water with the people, and it's a picture of trouble.
Yes.
Right. So now the water is up past the brink. It's the flooding or the rainy season. The water is over the banks of the Jordan. These people have to get across the Jordan, not just get themselves across. They got to get their children, their animals, and all this stuff they brought out of Egypt. They got to get all this stuff across the water.
Right.
And they're nervous. They're nervous. What are we going to do? Well, we do remember before about these stories where God parted the water for the previous generation. So somebody show up here with this staff that Moses used.
Right.
God was like, I'm not going to do it that way this time.
Mm-hmm.
Not going to do it with a staff.
Right.
Right?
Right.
This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to tell the priest, put your foot in the water.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Put your foot in the water. So instead of having the staff, now you're going to have to take a step.
Yep.
Right? I'm going to say it this way. Instead of having your crutch.
Right.
Now you're going to have to take a step of faith.
Come on, man.
Without the crutch.
Come on.
Now, before you even put your foot in the water, this is what we're going to do. Right? We're going to line you up with the presence of God. You're going to carry the Ark of the Covenant.
Right.
You're going to step in the water. You're going to go far enough ahead of the people so the people can see the Ark.
Yes.
Why? Because you've never been this way before.
Yes, yes, yes.
And as long as you're watching the water, there's going to be problems. But if you keep your eyes on me,
dude,
we're going to make it through this whole thing and you'll be just fine.
That's so good.
This is where we are now.
Yes.
This is where we have been. I think it's just been magnified to a certain degree now because I think time is getting more critical.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
I think this level of witchcraft is getting more effective.
Yes.
And it's affecting more people.
Yes. Right?
And so now I think what really has to happen is, can I say it the way, You have to take your eyes off your favorite pastor. You have to take your eyes off your
favorite singers.
You have to take your eyes off of your favorite teachers, all this kind of stuff. And you have to put your eyes on the one who can save your soul.
That's right. That's right.
That simple.
That's right.
I think that's where we are.
And that was always the way it was supposed to be.
It was always.
God calls apostles, prophets,
correct,
evangelists,
correct,
pastors, and teachers.
Not the schools. The schools don't call.
No.
God does.
God does.
Yeah.
So it's no knock on what we commonly call fivefold ministry.
Not at all.
No knock on them. It's just that he called them.
Mm-hmm.
Called actually means invited.
Correct.
You know, I always throw that out there. It kind of helps people most times when I say it. Called means invited. So he invited them to come and take this particular position in the body of Christ.
Sure.
In order to help the body of Christ.
Sure.
Right? But what he never called apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers to was being Holy Spirit to people.
No, man.
He never called any one of us, and we are in that group, right? Never called us to be Savior.
Not at all.
And the only way we can even be a teacher is to teach what he's already said.
That's it.
You know? And so there has to be limitations.
Yeah.
You're in trouble if there's not limitations on whoever your leader is.
Man, look.
You're stepping into some stuff, man, that you know, if I could just be real straight, that can get you killed. Maybe not physically, but that can really jack up your walk with God and your relationship with God, because he's still the God who says, I will have no other God before me.
Correct.
I wonder if that includes your favorite pastor, favorite apostle, your favorite bishop, your favorite teacher. No, give them the respect and honor that they're due if they're good. If they're good, if they are good at what they were called to do.
Correct.
I'm not into giving honor to folks that do it their own way and say they're called to be an apostle, a prophet, but they're doing it their own way. I'm not into that. That's fine. You know, whatever. If you're listening and you are, that's fine, whatever. But it's a great point that needs to be made.
Sure. Right?
Because the level of witchcraft, mm-hmm. Can we just talk about this thing for a minute?
Yeah, man.
The level of witchcraft is so deep. There's so many layers that in many cases, not all, but that in many cases, it has infiltrated churches. Dude, there are witches leading praise and worship.
Man.
There are witches, Troy, leading intercessory prayer.
It's crazy.
In the church that's supposed to be the church of Jesus Christ.
It's crazy. It's
supposed to be the church. It's supposed to be Jesus' church, man.
It's crazy, man.
How do we have these things? How is this? What's being taught? I'm just asking questions now. You know, what's being taught that allows for that dynamic?
Well, I'll tell you what's happened. They have infiltrated the church.
They, boy, that's so good, man.
That's exactly what's happened.
They,
yeah,
have infiltrated the church.
Yeah.
Oh. Selah. Can I say Selah? Yeah. That might be a good place to just Selah. No, it's real, though.
Yeah, man.
And my point is, to those of you who are listening, if you're already in the body of Christ, if you're not, then please consider, this is the time, man. It's always been a good time, like right now, to say, Jesus, please come into my heart. Save me now.
Yeah.
I'm listening to these dudes. And something inside of me knows that what they're saying is right and true. And they're not they're not sugarcoating it. No. They're laying it out the way it's supposed to be laid out. Right is right and wrong is wrong, even in the church.
Right.
Right is right and wrong is wrong, even in the pulpit, behind the podium.
Correct.
You know, it is what it is, right? But speaking specifically to the body of Christ, those of you who are listening, listen, man. this thing is winding up, and I believe it's winding up quickly. And you can't afford, nor can we, afford to be, here's an old word, lackadaisical. Matthew 25, 10 virgins, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. What was it? Okay, watch this. Yo. What was it? What mentality had infiltrated the five that watched the other five prepare, and they weren't even at a place mentally to be motivated by the five that were preparing?
Yeah.
What was that?
Yeah, man.
It was they. I guarantee you it was they.
Yeah.
They were being affected by the one we know as Satan, as the devil.
Yeah, man.
And now we know as they. You know.
Here's the thing, man, and I'm glad you threw that out there, especially for those of you that might be listening, you don't believe. And I just kind of feel prompted to say this, because there's probably some people that'll listen to this and say, you know what, the church has been saying this for a long time, that Christ is going to return. Christ, what if it doesn't happen for another 25 years? Okay, mm-hmm. If it doesn't happen for another 25 years, then it just doesn't happen for another 25 years. Here's the issue. You don't know if you'll live for another 25 minutes.
That's right.
Right? The day that you hear his voice, harden not your heart.
Right.
And so if you feel that pull, this is the moment. You can stop the podcast if you want to and ask him. It's not even asking him to forgive you, because he's already done that.
Yes.
Just receive the forgiveness.
That's right.
And ask him to come into your heart and let him be Lord of your life, and then just follow him. That's the thing, man. You know me, Bruce, I've told you this. I might even said this on the podcast before. We watched the Chosen, and I think one of the most profound lines that I've ever heard in the whole series is from Matthew, when he talked about his life being simplified by Jesus.
Oh,
and he said, for example, he said, tomorrow when I get up, I only have one thing to do.
Oh, my.
And that's follow him.
Yeah. Such a good line.
Sums up everything.
It sums up everything, dude.
And this is what we're trying to do to the best of our ability, is follow him.
Yeah.
Do we get it right all the time? No. Nope. The people that you're learning from, do they get it right all the time?
Nope.
No. But we do our best, even when we get it wrong, to get back up.
That's right.
And follow him.
That's right.
So if you're out there listening and you're concerned about that I don't know if I'll get it right.
Yeah.
Tell you now, you probably won't.
Yeah.
But what
not every time.
Not every time.
No.
But what you do is, when you get it wrong, you get back up and you start to follow him again.
But you know what? Get the most important thing right. Follow him.
Follow him. That's the most important thing.
That's the most important thing.
Follow him.
Right.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? Follow him. That's the most important thing, man.
Yeah, man. I love it.
And this is great, because, I mean, there are people probably listening, and their perception of a salvation experience with Jesus is having to wait until you get to church.
Nah.
And they play this real nice song that makes you cry and makes you feel emotional and all that. I'm not picking at it, but it just, this is some people's experience, right? And here we are on a podcast, and simply saying, hey, man, you can pause that podcast right now and ask Jesus to come into your life. You know that what we're saying is real.
Yeah.
You can feel it burning in your heart, and this is the best time that you can do it. That's awesome to be able to do that.
Yes, sir.
Without the yoke. Oh, yeah, I'm going to use that word. Without the yoke of the religious fanfare that sometimes comes with it. You know what I'm saying? Anyway, so that was worth saying.
It was.
Now, I have another scripture. Let's go.
No, go. Let's go, man.
Okay.
Now we're good.
I want to bring up Matthew 4:1. Actually, it's 1 through 11. It's where Jesus, I love this. It says, then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness.
Yep.
This is what I love about this. To be tempted. He was led by the Spirit into the wilderness for one purpose.
To be tempted.
To be tempted.
Yep.
What chance do you have? Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? That's my whole point in bringing that up.
Yeah.
We sometimes think that we are smarter than we are. Can I say that? I just said it. Mm-hmm. We sometimes think that we are spiritually smarter than we are.
Mm-hmm.
We sometimes think that we are biblically smarter than we are. We sometimes think that we know God better than we actually do.
Yeah.
I know that's hurtful for some, but it is what it is, right?
Right.
Okay, verse 2. So we understand he was led into the wilderness by the Spirit for what? To be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward he was hungry. Now when the tempter came to him, he said, this is my point, if he starts that foolishness right off the bat.
That's what he does.
If you are the Son of God. Satan knew that he was the Son of God.
Well, let's roll it back because Matthew chapter 3 is so important.
Come on.
Jesus gets baptized.
Yeah.
And the heavens open up.
Yeah.
And the Spirit of God descends on him like a dove.
Yes.
And the audible voice of God is heard, and he says, this is my Son.
Yes.
He affirms him.
He affirms him.
Right?
Yep.
And no different than what he did with Adam.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yep.
He kind of twisted. Say, let's see if we can play with what God said.
It's garden all over again.
Yeah, would you really... Did God really
say? Dude, we got to get this thing, man.
Right?
Yeah. We got to get this thing. He has no new tricks.
No, it's the same thing over and over.
It's the same thing over and over. And so he says, if you are this, he knows he's the Son of God.
Yeah.
Command these stones to become bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. I like to read it like this. Man shall live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Right? Then the devil took him up into a holy city. Listen to this, man. This is interesting. Then the devil took him up into the holy city. The holy city.
Uh-huh.
Mm.
Yeah.
Set him on the pinnacle of the temple. Mm-hmm. And said to him, if you are the Son of God, here he's going to try it again because he has no new tricks. If you are, and I'm saying all this, guys, because this is the same thing that he does with us. We just talked about being called, right?
Yep.
We just talked about, now forget about what we call 5-4 ministry. Now just recognize that you have been invited to be a member of the family of God.
Correct.
Whether you're a part of what we call 5-4 or not. You've been called to be a member, and you know that you got saved. You know you had a serious salvation experience.
Yeah.
You know that Jesus is in your heart, and here he comes saying, if you're saved for real, man, you wouldn't still be smoking. Yeah. You wouldn't still be dealing with wine and alcohol or whatever. You wouldn't still be dealing with lying. You wouldn't still be dealing with feeling inferior.
Yeah.
You wouldn't still be dealing... This is the same thing that he comes and tells us today,
same
dude.
Thing.
It's no different.
No different at all.
Because he has no new tricks.
Nah.
You know what I'm saying? And that's why I wanted to throw this in there, because it's important. And I won't finish it because, I mean, it goes on. Jesus just deals with him and says, it is written again. It is written. It's wonderful. He lays the word. And then he tries one more time down in verse 8. If you fall down and worship me, I'll give you all of this.
That whole system.
Now watch this.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus obviously didn't fall for it.
Mm-hmm.
This time his answer is not, it is written. He says, get away from me.
Yeah.
In verse 10, get away from me. Right.
Yeah.
But this is the point I want to bring out to everybody. If you understand that he owns it all, right? If you understand that because you're in him now, in him we live and move and have our being, have our existence, that you are now an heir and joint heir, that you own it all. Boy, I know that I know that's challenging for some people. We're in this world. We're not of the world. We're supposed to affect the world. So when they say, right? Yeah, no, you're going to eat. You're going to eat factory meat. You're going to eat meat made in a plant.
Yeah.
We're going to take away all the beef. We're supposed to be bold enough to say, but he has cattle upon 1,000
hills, on, man.
Which means I'll eat as many steaks as I want to because in him I live and move and have my being, and I'm an heir and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. You're not going to say that until you come to that place where you have enough word on the inside of you to push out all of the bad doctrine that we've been talking about for the last I don't know how many minutes. That's the point.
I love it. One thing we talked about a little bit earlier, and this is going to help some people. I believe it'll help you. Okay. The prince of our ignorance, the prince and the power of the air.
Mm-hmm.
He's even called the prince of demons.
Yep.
This is the they that we've been talking about this whole time.
Yeah.
When you look in the Bible, angels are called princes.
Yeah.
They're princes, right? So he's a prince. He's a prince.
Yeah, but.
Okay. When you look in Revelation, it tells us that those that have been blood washed are not just priests, but they're also kings.
Yes.
So we, the blood washed, are kings.
Yeah.
The enemy of your soul is a prince.
Is a prince.
Kings don't bow to princes.
That's exactly right. No, dude, that's
under
so
no circumstances
under
do kings
no circumstances
bow to princes.
No.
And so this is where you have to find yourself. You have to find yourself in a position of authority and understand that you're in a position of authority. You don't bow to him. You should never bow to him.
That's
in
exactly
fact,
right.
In Revelation, it tells you that not only did he call you kings and priests, but he put all things under your feet.
Yeah.
I like to say it this way. If you ever find yourself looking eye to eye with your enemy, tell him to get back under your feet.
That's exactly right.
You should never even
be
looking
at him
eye to eye.
It's not supposed to happen.
Never. Never.
It's not supposed to happen.
Understand your authority. Understand your position.
Yeah.
This is who you are. This is who God's called you to be. And when the if comes, tell they to beat it.
Tell they to beat it.
There you go.
Right. That's exactly right, man. You know, we have to get a revelation, Troy, of just how high we are above the system of this world.
Yes.
The Bible says we have been what? Seated in heavenly places.
Yes.
With Christ Jesus. I always say it like this, with and by. I don't think I'm changing the word.
No.
It was done by him.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Jesus is God, right?
Mm-hmm.
So still it was done by him. So we have been seated in heavenly places with, and I like to say, and by Christ Jesus. Look how much higher we are above the systems of this world, the systems of this earth. Look how much higher we are than them, than the system itself. There's time. This is the time. Guys, listen to me. We're in a time right now where we have to stop simply being affected, right?
Huh.
A-F-F-E-C, affected
mm-hmm.
by the system, and begin to effect, E-F-F-E-C-T, begin to effect mm-hmm. things in this earth and stop simply being affected by them. But we're not going to get there until you come and align yourself, until I align myself with the fact, the truth,
yeah,
that he's already placed us far above. Even when we talk about we wrestle not, oh, I got a theory. I'm going to just call it a theory for now just to help people. I have this theory. I think that's a good way to say it. I may get in trouble with some for that, but I'm okay with it. When Michael and his angels fought against the devil and his angels,
mm-hmm.
said it was war in heaven?
Yep.
I don't personally believe that it was a physical war. I found some scriptures and did a little bit of digging, right? I personally believe that it was a war of words. And, of course, Satan lost and got tossed out
mm-hmm.
because it was a war of words. Why do I believe that? Partly why I believe that, Troy, because if God sends Michael, there is no Satan left if it's physical. If it's a physical war, there is no Satan left if God sicks Michael on him. No, you see what I'm saying?
It's over.
He ceases to exist.
It's over.
It's over.
He stands no chance.
He stands no chance. I did a little bit of digging, and I got this, and we'll talk about it another day. So, you know, I know people are going to freak out that I'm saying that because we've only been taught that, you know, we assume that it's a physical war. My point in saying all that is that we, everything about us has to do with what we speak.
Yeah, man.
What we believe first, and then what we speak. Right?
Yeah.
We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual wickedness in high places. How do we wrestle against them? What do you believe?
That's right.
And what are you speaking?
That's right. Listen, we give you scripture for that too, right?
Yes, sir.
We don't just say crazy stuff without backing it up with scripture, right? go when you go to you guys get a chance, go back and read 1 Samuel 17, I believe it is. Oh, there's an old Sunday school story that we have there about David and Goliath. Mm-mm-mm. And you have to look at the ending of Goliath and what David did to him. David did not do a single thing to the Goliath that he didn't say he was going to do first.
That's exactly right, dude.
Everything he did to him, he spoke it first.
Yes, sir.
And then it happened. And so David stood in who he knew he was. He said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that defies the armies of the living God?
Right.
He recognized he was in covenant with God and this giant was not. He also recognized that God has already given me a promise that I'd be king and it hadn't happened right. yet. So this giant stands no chance against
no
me.
Chance.
I don't care how small I am. I don't care big he is. He stands no chance because God can't lie.
That's right.
This hasn't happened for me yet.
Man.
And so, yeah, I'll fight him. Mm. I don't need your armor. Everything I say I'm going to do, I'm going to do.
Yep.
So your words do carry meaning. Your words do have power. And they will try to convince you that they don't yes. have power. And your words really do.
Yes.
In fact, for any of those folks that are listening and you are having these battles in your mind, let me help you with something. You do not battle thoughts with other thoughts. Battle thoughts with your words.
That's exactly right.
You battle thoughts with your words. You don't battle them with other thoughts.
You do not.
No.
You do not. One of the most dangerous things for anyone, but particularly for believers, is to come under fire and then go get quiet.
Oh, man.
It's the worst thing you can do.
Well, go back and look at our example. You just read it.
Yeah.
So when he was attacked.
Yes.
And I will tell you, listen, I'm going to tell you, and a lot of people, you may disagree with this, fine. We can show you in biblically. When the enemy attacks you, he's normally going to attack you in your soulless realm, your mind, your will, and your emotions.
That's exactly
right.
He's
going to, thoughts, ideas, and suggestions.
Yes.
So what did he do with Jesus? He attacked him with thoughts, with ideas. And suggestions.
Yeah.
How did Jesus respond to those thoughts, ideas, and suggestions? He opened up his mouth and he spoke.
And he spoke.
Against the thoughts, the ideas, and suggestions.
And what did he speak?
He spoke the word.
It is written.
That's right.
And it shuts down every conversation.
I think in one of the other versions of this story, I think he says it is written twice. And then Satan says, well, has it not also been said?
Dude.
And then Jesus responds, oh, yeah, it's been said.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So not only did he give him the logos, he also gave him the rhema.
That's exactly right, man.
There you go.
That's so good. That's so good.
That wasn't in our notes either.
No, it wasn't.
I love this stuff, man.
Yeah. Okay, so something practical. You know, we try to give something practical.
Let's get it.
Right? Okay, this is Philippians 2, 5 through 11. And I put at the top of that, having the mind of Christ.
Okay.
It says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus.
Wait, right? Start at the beginning, that first word?
Let.
Which means you have to allow it.
Let.
He's not going to force it into you.
He's not going
to
force
you. You have to allow that.
Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. There is a problem there with the body of Christ right now.
Sure.
Who struggle and have a, I'm going to say it like this, and have a, but that's Jesus, but that was Jesus mentality.
Yeah.
And they struggle to accept that we've been made, I said it earlier, heirs and joint heirs with him. And accept that we are seated with him right now in his glory, in his authority. You know, we're representing him, supposed to be in the earth, but we're seated with him in his in his reward, I can say like that.
Sure.
So that's a problem right there that needs to be addressed. I'll continue. Did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but here's the other part of it, but made of himself no reputation. Ooh. Taking on the form of a bondservant. Oh, boy. And coming in the likeness of men.
Uh-huh.
Okay, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself. This is the blueprint. sure. for how to stay out of
yeah.
being affected by the witchcraft that the enemy is trying to bombard the whole world with.
I love this.
Knowing that you are who he says you are,
mm-hmm.
right? But then also walking a life, living a life of humility.
Correct.
Right? He humbled himself. He's our example. You know, I love to say that.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus is our example in all things. I added to that now. I say now he's our example in all things righteous and holy.
Right.
Just to make sure. You know, we got some crazies out there. And he became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Right? Humility. Having the mind of Christ.
Humility.
Humility.
Micah 6.
Yeah, dude.
I have shown you, oh man,
oh God,
what is good and what is required.
What is required
of you.
Yeah.
Is that you act justly, right?
Love mercy.
You love mercy and do what?
And walk humbly.
Walk humbly before your God.
Bah, 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 bah,
yeah,
bah,
man.
Bah, bah. I love that. I love that.
Yeah,
I love
man.
That, man. That helps you because even when Jesus finished with the devil and mm-hmm. told him to get away from him, yeah. I didn't read it. The next sentence is, and the angels came and ministered to him. You get supernatural help. Boy, this is good, man. I'm enjoying
man,
this,
Troy. I like this, man.
We get supernatural help when we keep ourselves humble before mm-hmm. God. I know who I am to him. I'm learning still who he is to me.
Yeah.
But in that, I'm going to stay humble. If he's called me to build a huge thing in the earth for the people of God, that's great. But guess what? That just means I got to find places to go lower. You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
If he's called, you know, whatever it is that brings people to you and you got followings and you all of that stuff, what it means is that you got to find some place to go low. You got to find a way to stay low. And that's a very personal thing between you and your God. I would say it like this, Troy. If you go high and you fail
mm-hmm.
or you fall, then great is your fall.
Yeah.
If you stay low and you fail or you fall, you're not completely destroyed because there wasn't a whole lot of room between you and the ground in the first place. Does that make sense?
It makes perfect sense. To the point, you said this, you have supernatural help. When you remain low, God resists the proud, according to the book of James.
The proud, dude.
He resists the proud, but yes, he does sir. What? He gives grace to the humble.
That's right.
Right?
That's right.
And so that supernatural help is a grace that he extends when you remain humble.
That's exactly right.
You see all this stuff ties together?
Yeah, anyway. It's great. Yeah. It's great. I got one more. Okay.
Let's go.
James 4, 6 through 8, but he gives more grace.
There we go.
Therefore, he says, God resists the proud. I just want to read it.
Yeah.
But gives grace to the humble.
Yeah.
Therefore,
uh-huh.
practical application, right? Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you.
Mm-hmm.
There's a problem there.
I see it. I see it. I see it.
If the devil ain't leaving you, if the devil ain't fleeing.
Mm-hmm.
Fleeing
that's right.
from you. You may need to check your submission, and you may need to check if you're really resisting him.
There you go. One more thing. Also, yes, you might need to check if you're humble.
If you're humble. That's there exactly go. Right. And then it finishes off with, draw near to God,
mm-hmm.
and he will draw near to you. That's conditional, yo. Cleanse your... can I say this on the air? Cleanse your hands, you sinners. And purify your hearts, you double-minded. Oh my God. If this mic wasn't in a mic stand, I would drop it.
The book of James hits you right in the chest, man.
It hits you right in the chest. Now watch this. Double-minded. Here's an example. Oh, God is good. Amen. Amen. But you know they say the economy is tanking.
Yeah.
See, we you know what I'm saying? Do we think of double-minded as like that? Oh, the Lord is good and he gracious to all. Yeah, but you know, they said that the economy is going to be bad this year, especially if so-and-so gets in. Let's just
yeah.
Let's just throw that in there just to make people angry.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Whatever.
You might as well.
I didn't say who.
Man, we probably made people angry about 35 minutes ago, but it's cool.
You know, I don't know how we're going to make ends meet.
Yeah.
I don't know how we're going to make it.
Yeah.
But I thought you said God is good. Oh, you know, the Lord is good. And watch this. And if it's his will, then I'll make it.
Yeah, man.
There's a bunch of double-mindedness in there, yo.
Yeah, it is.
I know this is cutting. I know this is, I like to call it big boy, big girl talk. This is mature talk, right? But it needs to be heard and it needs to be said because we got to stop playing with it. Either we believe him or we don't.
It really is that simple. And it again, with the double-mindedness, it creates instability. Watch this. He said that the double-minded man is unstable in all.
All.
That means it causes instability in your finances. It causes instability in your marriage. It causes instability
in your relationship.
You can't make a good decision. You can't.
You can't even make a good decision.
You're unstable in all of your ways.
That's what it says, Troy.
So, listen, I tell you another one, man. People, they'll wake up in the morning, oh, man, God's giving me another day. Then you get to work. How you doing? Oh, it's Monday.
It's a Monday. Okay for a Monday.
There you go. There you go.
I used to tell people, they say that, and I say, you know, you can't have a Friday without a Monday. Let's just be happy for Monday. And I've had folks go, yeah, you're right, but it's a Monday, though. I just stopped saying it. Praise the Lord.
They're not going to get me to acquiesce. My dad taught me a long time ago. He said, look, when God made the days, he looked at all of them, including today, and he said, it is
good. Exactly right.
Well, God said it's good. I have no right to say it's bad.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Hey, look, that helps you to stay stable. Helps you to stay humble.
Yes.
This is really good stuff, man.
Amen.
I enjoyed this. I was looking forward to this. I hope our listeners were able to understand where we're coming from. Listen, you're going to hear this talk, and hopefully that when you begin to talk this way, you will remember this. It's not a they. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood.
That's right.
Don't worry about what the people are doing.
That's right.
What you need to do is pray for pray against that spirit that's influencing the people.
Yep.
They is a he, and his name is Satan and the devil, it says in Revelation.
Yep.
He is the accuser of the brethren. He is the prince of your ignorance. He's the one that wants to keep you in the dark and wants to keep you afraid.
That's right.
And so what we have to do is we have to allow the light to be in our lives.
Yes.
Right? We have to allow God to take the throne of your life. You can't even sit on the throne of your own life.
That's right.
You have to allow God to sit on the throne of your life. And when you do that, the simple thing to do after that is just follow him.
Yep.
I'm Troy.
I'm Bruce.
And we thank you so much for joining us here
under the fig tree.